The Trump administration is thinking about tariffs, and other countries are thinking about retaliating. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The U.S. Commerce Department on Friday outlined a range of steep tariffs on steel and aluminum. It's considering imposing them on a whole list of countries from Brazil to South Africa to China. We're talking tariffs of 24, even 53% in some cases. And over the weekend, China said it would retaliate if those tariffs became reality. The BBC economics correspondent, Andrew Walker, has been following the story. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Sabri.
What is the justification that the Trump administration is giving for slapping tariffs on aluminum and steel?
That they think it is a national security issue, that they're concerned that the U.S. domestic industry might not be able to meet all the country's security needs. Other countries have said that this is simply not true, but that is the basis on which the Commerce Department was asked to investigate, and they have come back with the conclusion that there is indeed a potential threat to U.S. national security because of the difficulties that the domestic industry would have in meeting all the military's requirements for steel and aluminum.
And so China's not happy about that, are they? What's China threatening to do?
Well, China has suggested that there might be the possibility of some sort of retaliation. Details are far from clear, but they have a number of options, one of which is to just go ahead and unilaterally impose some sort of barriers to American goods. Another option would be to take action in the World Trade Organization to make a formal complaint, which would lead to an investigation by the WTO, which might ultimately lead to it authorizing China to take retaliatory action.
That's China's reaction. Do we have any idea of how other countries are going to react?
There was actually a discussion of this investigation in the World Trade Organization in a meeting of trade experts in Geneva last year. And there were a number of countries that expressed concerns about the possible outcome of the investigation. The European Union, for example, said that there was a danger of systemic risks. In other words, could generate some sort of danger of undermining the global rules-based trade system more widely.
The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Sabri.
Last week, markets got a little bit of a break from the volatility and wild swings we saw earlier this month. And markets are, of course, closed today. But economists think that after a year of slow and steady rises, we're entering a new period of uncertainty where we're going to see more volatility than we're used to. Veteran investors may have the stomach for that, those 1,000-point swings in the Dow. But what about younger investors who've come of age in a market that knows pretty much one direction, up? Marketplace's Rima Kreis reports.
When the markets went on their wild ride earlier this month, Lionel James Lewis took a decent hit on his retirement and investment accounts, about $9,000, or just under 10%. But the young biologist from Salt Lake City kept his cool.
Really, my reaction was, there's going to be some great deals. I hope I can scoop them up.
Spoken like a true seasoned investor, Lewis has been in the market for 10 years. He started buying stock on the cheap during the financial crisis when he was just out of college. Now, trading is kind of a hobby for him. He says his wife could not be less interested.
I don't think she even knows the login to her 401k. I manage it for her. She just says, you know, you got it. Let me know how it goes.
College student Samantha Rude didn't need to wait for a buying opportunity. Her grandfather gave her stock when she was a baby and then for birthdays and Christmas. When the Dow was going haywire,
I was like, oh, it's really down there.
But she knows the rules. Look away.
I'm really of the mindset of, like, I'm going to put it aside and not really spend all my time on it.
Truth is, most young people don't spend any time thinking about stocks. Only 40% of millennials are in the market, and it's mainly through retirement accounts that they typically ignore. For Austin Chenu, a musician from Los Angeles, the learning curve just isn't worth the time.
Trying to get into stocks is really overwhelming because you have no idea where to start with it. And there are so many things to, like, research and where should you put your money? What are the things that are going up? What is going down? It's too much for me.
And Chenu grew up during the Great Recession and saw his parents lose a lot of their retirement. So he's wary. Research shows younger people in general are wary about investing. But some make an exception for this.
I got into Bitcoin around 2015, and that's when I actually made my first transaction. I was like, okay, well, this is cool.
Misha Armada is a 31-year-old marketing consultant from Los Angeles. And like many young investors, she says she's a fan of cryptocurrency because it's decentralized, easy to manage. But it's even more volatile than the stock market, and Armada is still trying to get her mind around it.
Well, the last time I seriously was checking my crypto, I sold my Bitcoin at a very low price. So no more impulsive moves like that.
Oh, regrets. No matter what the investment, they'll always be there. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
If you've ever wondered how North Korea manages to do business with so many sanctions on it, well, here's a clue. A Latvian lender, ABLV Bank, is being accused by the U.S. Treasury and the European Central Bank of allowing its customers to do business with North Korea despite sanctions imposed over that country's nuclear program. The European Central Bank went so far as to say that money laundering was a pillar of Riga-based ABLV Bank's business practices. ABLV Bank says such accusations are based on unfounded information. Either way, the European Central Bank has frozen the bank's ability to make payments. I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.